But before we get there, let's make our hearts and minds right as we begin in prayer. Lord God, this is what we ask of you, that you would clear from our minds any hindrance, distraction that would keep us from hearing your word this day. God, we pray that you would help us to have prepared our hearts as ripe and rich soil upon which to receive the seed of your word. We pray then, Holy Spirit, you would come and speak to us, that that seed of your word would take root and bring fruit from it. May then the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, Jeanette and I have not been married 66 years yet. We celebrated 23, which is roughly one-third of the amount of years, Betty and John, that you've been together. So we still have two-thirds of our lives together to look forward to. But I remember when we first started dating that dreaded question, where are we going to worship? See, Jeanette and I grew up in different churches with different expressions of the faith. So I went to her church and kind of checked things out. She grew up in a non-denominational church. She grew up in a church where Hal Lindsey, I don't know if any of you know that name, he wrote a book way back in the 80s called The Late Great Planet Earth. And well, his ministry kind of slipped off after he made a prediction of the end of the world, and well, here we are. But as we went, it was all praise music, and the sermon was like almost an hour. Hal's philosophy of sermonizing or preaching was, well, if you wanted 20 minutes of a sermon, well, then you can go to kids' church, because that's just a sermonette. Okay? So we sat there, we dug through the Bible, we had some praise songs, and then we were dismissed. That was it. And I remember getting done with worship, and I said to Jeanette, you know, that wasn't church. And she said, what do you mean that wasn't church? I said, that wasn't church. I said, let's go next week to my church, and I'll show you what church is. So we went to Resurrection Lutheran in Redondo Beach. It was a service very similar to this one. It hasn't changed in that many years, which is great. I love it. And so we sang hymns. We participated in Holy Communion. There was a baptism, infant baptism that day. She practiced believer baptism in her church. We had the liturgy. We had readings. We had prayer. We had confession. We had absolution. Oh, joy. This was church. So we got done, and I said to her, what'd you think? She said, Steve, that wasn't church. So who's right? Which one is church? I'm glad you asked, Jim. I appreciate that. We're going to take a look at some of Luther's understanding of the church this morning. First, we have to understand what we're talking about. Church, capital C. This is the church worldwide. In the Gospels, Jesus used the word for church only twice. The word is ecclesia. So if you think of the ecclesiastical church, that's kind of redundant, but that's what we mean. It literally means the assembly of people. And when it comes to the church as we know it, it's the assembly of God's people. This word ecclesia is used a lot in the New Testament, predominantly by the Apostle Paul, as he understand the assembly of God's people. It's used 118 times, but again, only twice by Jesus. Luther's definition of church is thus. He says, the church is the incorporation with Christ and all the saints. It is as if a citizen were given a sign, a document, or some other token to assure him that he is a citizen of the city, a member of that particular community. He goes on to say, this fellowship consists in this, that all the spiritual possessions of Christ and all the saints are shared with and become the common property of him who receives this sacrament. He saw church as a sacrament. Again, all sufferings and sins also become common property, and thus love engenders love in return, and mutual love unites. This is Luther speaking on the blessed sacrament of the holy and true body of Christ, the Eucharist. And so Luther says, quite simply, it's the assembly of God's people in Christ Jesus who are, in my terms, doing life together. And if you notice, Luther didn't mention programs or form or the kinds of people or buildings or theology or even what we wear. For Luther, church was much broader than those things. There are five determinative church distinctives in Luther's understanding of the church. Let's just go through those this morning that we might understand them. First and foremost, Christ is the head of the church. Think of Luther's context. You remember what's happening in the church, especially in Rome at the time that Luther comes to his understanding of the Reformation and his 95 theses and his understanding of the church. See, the head of the church was the Pope. Clearly, the Pope actually took the right to determine what the Bible said. So anything that came down through the church came through the Pope. And so for Luther, this was not sitting well with him, especially when it came to the Pope's standing on indulgences, that is, selling indulgences for the sake of salvation. So Luther says, Christ, he is the head only of the godly, faithful Christians assembled in the Spirit, for a head must be joined to the body. Luther was called a heretic for this understanding of the church, that Christ and not the Pope was its head. But Luther was only understanding and bringing to light the meaning of Colossians chapter 1, as we heard Charles read it for us. And he, says Paul, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. I don't know if you pay much attention to the words we sing in our hymns. I do. There's so much rich theology there. But we sang this morning, the church is one foundation, and we made a proclamation of the supremacy of Christ and his headship over the church. Did you know that? That's what you sang. I'll remind you in the first verse. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. You see, Jesus has paid the price. He has bought the church with his blood. And so when we talk about church, we talk about Jesus as the head of the church. No person, no committee, no board, no pastor, but Christ himself. Number two, Luther would say that the church is the special work of the Holy Spirit. From the Book of Concord, Luther says, "For where Christ is not preached, there is no Spirit to create, call, and gather the Christian church. And outside it, the Christian church, no one can come to the Lord Christ." The Holy Spirit's intricate and intimate work happens within the church, capital C. That is the body of Christ, those who are assembled together in his name. The writer of Acts, Luke, records the coming of the Holy Spirit to the Christian church, the first coming of the Spirit. This is known as Pentecost. Luke says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Who's they? Well, the 12 disciples, of course, and the followers of Jesus, They're still in Jerusalem. This is not long after the death of Jesus. And so they are gathered together. They are assembled as the body, as the church of Christ. All of them, then, says Luke, were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. It is the Spirit's work in the church that is the church's distinctive among all other institutions. It is the Holy Spirit's work in the people of God that makes the church the church. Number three, word and sacrament marked the church. So number one was, Christ is the head of the church. Number two was, the church is the special work of the Holy Spirit. The third distinctive is that word, God's word, and sacrament mark the church. Now, sacrament, by sacrament, we mean two in our church. And those are, let's hear it, Lutherans, baptism and Holy Communion. Those are our two sacraments. And so we celebrate in those sacraments and in God's word. Luther said in a little paper he wrote on the papacy, which didn't make him very well-liked by the Pope, let's say. He says, not Rome. Boy, these are fighting words. Not Rome, or this place, or that place, but baptism, the sacrament, and the gospel are the signs by which the existence of the church and the world can be noticed externally. That's very interesting. For Luther, it wasn't about the social gospel in the world. For Luther, it was about the gospel in the world, the word, baptism, and the Eucharist that made it distinct, that made the church be noticed by the world. Sometimes we think that what marks the church is any one of a host of things. Sometimes we think it's the programs the church offers. Sometimes we think it's the form of worship. Jeanette and I got really confused when we were first dating and then first married. We got really confused what the church was. You see, both of us were wrong when we said, this is church and that is not. We didn't understand. We were young and naive. We didn't have the information yet to understand what church was. But church wasn't about the form of worship or how long the pastor preached or what songs we sang. Church was about word and sacrament, baptism and Holy Communion. Church wasn't about the kinds of people who were worshiping there. Church wasn't about the building. Sometimes we get mixed up. You know, Jeanette and I started a church in Southern California. Boy, it's been a long time now. 2002, how many years is that? About 15 years ago. And this church still meets in a school. It has no building, zero. The pastor works out of his home. The community gets together in their homes for small groups and Bible studies. They have no building. Does that mean they're not a church? By no means. They're every bit a church as we are. It's not about our differing theologies. We all have a different flavor of Protestant theology. And it's not about what we wear. For instance, I'm wearing black socks today. You see those? Kind of plain, kind of old people-ish, kind of works for a guy that's almost 50. But Samuel, he's rocking some socks. Let's see those. Put those socks up for us. Can you see those? Those are lovely socks. I wish I could pull it off, but my boys would say, no, Dad, no, no, don't do that. We are the church, Samuel and I, and you. You see, the church is much more than us. It transcends us. The church is about God's word proclaimed and experienced in the sacraments. Number four, so Christ is the head of the church. The church is the special work of the Holy Spirit. Word and sacrament mark the church. And the church is God's work, not our work. Luther said in his little treatise against the antinomians. That means those who are against the law. So those there were those who said there's no use for the Old Testament law, but Luther would argue there is a use for the law. And so Luther says, for after all, we are not the ones who can preserve the church, nor were our forefathers able to do so, nor will our successors have this power. No, it was, is, and will be he who says, I am with you always to the close of the age. Who is that one, by the way? That's Jesus. He said that at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, after he gives the Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28. Boy, this one is hard to get our minds around, isn't it? Because we feel as if it's our job, and I would say for pastors especially, this really weighs on us, and we get this confused in our lives. Sometimes we think it's our job to preserve the church, but wow, would we be in error? God is the one who preserves the church. Then, now, and for evermore. When we were at City on the Hill, about 8 years into our work, people were starting to refer to the church, City on a Hill, as Steve's church. I was the founding pastor. I was the only pastor. Even the congregation would say, well, your church, your church. And once that started to happen, through prayer and consideration, Jeanette and I said, time to go. Why? Because, for after all, we are not the ones who can preserve the church. This was not our church. And so we prayed, and God opened up the opportunity to come up here. And it was hard to leave that church. It was, I'm going to use an analogy, but I know I'm going to be way off, and I don't mean to offend you, ladies, but it was like leaving a child that you had birthed. Now, I haven't birthed a child, so I don't get it, but I know in my heart that that's hard to do. Here was a church that was able to, if they wanted, to sustain themselves financially and otherwise, but we didn't know if that was going to happen. So we said, God, this is your church, not our church, and it is you who will preserve it, if it's your will. Well, when we walked away from that call, God decided it was his will that they continue. But it had to be the Lord, because the church is God's work. The church is not our work, lest we forget the words of Matthew. Jesus, as recorded in the Gospel, chapter 16 and verse 18, as I read it, he says to Peter, and I tell you that you are Peter, that's Petros, and on this rock, that's Petra, so Peter, Petros, rock, Petra. You see what Jesus is doing here? He's relating the two. That's why Peter is called the rock. And I tell you, Petros, you are Petros, and on this Petra I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So here's a difficult work for us. If Jesus' work is this work of the church, then we have to surrender and submit that work to him. If God wants our church to be preserved, he will preserve it. If God wants our church not to be preserved, then God won't preserve it. That's the difficulty of giving control over to him. And lastly, so Christ is the head of the church, distinctive one. The church is the special work of the Holy Spirit. The church is marked by word and sacrament. The church is God's work. And lastly, bringing this all back together, I hope, justification occurs in and through the church. Remember 6 weeks ago, I'm going to take you way back, a month and a half. 6 weeks ago, when we began the solas, we started out with sola scriptura. And in so doing, I pointed out before us that God's word alone was what we stand on for salvation. And salvation comes by being justified by the work of Jesus Christ. And so all the solas point to justification. All of Luther's theology points to justification. And the church itself then becomes the place where one is justified. Bernard Lowe's, in his book, Martin Luther's Theology, writes this: according to Luther, one may be a Christian only in the fellowship of the church. Jesus Christ has not merely redeemed individuals, but called a new people to his discipleship. The church is thus the new people of God. The individual is set within this fellowship by the message of the gospel. We've said this before. There are many who say to us, Pastor Corey and I, and perhaps to you, well, my faith is my faith. I can be a Christian and not go to church. And maybe that's our fault in the church. Maybe we've underestimated and underpreached the importance of being in the church together as the body. For many years now, we've been preaching the gospel of personal salvation. Have you made Jesus your personal Savior? But when we do that, we, I think, underplay and at times undermine the importance of community, of the church, capital C. We cannot be justified apart from the gifts and ministry of the church. The church is where justification occurs and where those who are justified live and breathe and have their being together. Luther said, this article, Justification by Faith Alone, this is a quote I gave 6 weeks ago, by which the church stands or falls, is the head and cornerstone of the church, which alone begets, nourishes, builds, preserves, and protects the church. Without it, the church of God cannot subsist 1 hour. What is the church? Is the church the building? No. Is the church the kind of people who are in it? Not necessarily. Is the church about the clothing or the garb we wear? How about the programs we offer? How about the theology in particular that we preach or live by? No, in the end, the church is not any of those things. Friends, look around you. You can do it. Move your head like that. This is the church. We are the church. Christ is our head. The Holy Spirit does our work. The sacraments and God's word proclaim Christ Jesus. This is what God is doing among us. This is who God has chosen to bring together here at Richland Lutheran. And we are reminded then of the words of Jesus, his promise to the church, capital C, and the church, lowercase c, Richland Lutheran. He says, I tell you, on this rock at RLC, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Amen. Please stand now as we sing together our hymn.